Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor. Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
Hannah. God, I love that banana. Anderson. Ava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallantine. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Lulu Simon, Sue Studio.
We're all in with Julia Conlin.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews Sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens, crappens,
crappens. Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from The Real Housewives of Kitchen Island. It's a cartoon. It's on YouTube. Go check it out. Just, you know, type in Real Housewives of Kitchen Island on the search function. And joining me is a man of many, many talents and joys and emotions. It's Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
Hi. So, very exciting stuff. We are talking Beverly Hills today. But first, you know, we are only a few days out from our big show in Milwaukee. So come see us there. We still have tickets available. It's a big theater, so there's room for everyone. Go to watchourcrappens.com, get your tickets. We're going to be talking about Southern Charm there. Time is running out to get your tickets. It's going to be a great, great time. Don't worry about going solo. You'll make friends. And then on Saturday, in case you didn't hear, we are going to be recapping Real Housewives of New York there. And both shows will be the latest episodes. In case you missed our announcement yesterday, we're coming to St. Louis, going back to St. Louis. We're very excited about that. St. Louis is going to be on December 6th, Delmar Hall. So that will be really exciting. There's a pre-sale going on right now, and then general on sale starts on June 7th. And of course, in case you also missed it, we have next month, we have Baltimore and Cleveland. We also have Pittsburgh, but that's sold out. Thanks, Pittsburgh. And then in September, we got Nashville. And then in November, we have Indianapolis and New York City. The first New York City show is sold out, but there are still, I think there's still some tickets for New York. I could be wrong. So that's all the fun ticketing stuff you have to know about. We will be announcing more cities. Stay tuned. We usually announce them on Tuesdays. So we're really excited about that. And of course, when you're at watchourcrappens.com getting your tickets, be sure to get some merchandise. Ronnie, can you tell everyone about what's available
yeah,
there?
Right now, we've got a very special Beverly Hills shirt. Team LVP. Oh, you've hurt me. So for all those people feeling the victimization of LVP, we made a shirt for you, okay? Go find it there. We've also got a Dorinda shirt. And we've got a martini medicine shirt for Southern Charm. So go get your shirts, everybody, okay? They're limited to this month only. Well, for a month. And also, this video is on Crappens On Demand today. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
we
y'all.
We are recording on video, as we do twice a week. If you want to live stream with us or just watch them after we've recorded, just become a Crappens On Demand member over at Patreon.com. We've got a lot of you now. We're really grateful. I mean, personally, I love doing these videos.
Yeah, they're really fun. Plus, I get to see your beautiful face, Ronnie.
I get to see my little Benjaminias. Aww. So that's it for the plugging. So for all links to videos, bonus episodes, shirts, show tickets, Go over to watchwhatcrappens.com. And now, today,
I suppose
I have started a fire as well.
This show is on fire. Well, actually, I'm sure... really, Joe, because it was really devastating, these fires.
But God, these were crazy. This was like Armageddon. We flew into town when these fires were taking place, and I don't remember where we were from.
We were coming in from Seattle.
People on the plane were crying, okay? Like, I cried next to an old couple.
Really?
Who was really mean to me. The whole city was on fire. The whole sky was pink. You could see it from the...
It was crazy.
It was insane to see how much devastation.
Yeah, because when we were in Seattle that weekend, and when we took off... I don't know. I don't remember. I think the fires maybe were just starting in L.A. At that point, I think the fire in Northern California, which was even more devastating, I think that was already happening. But when we landed, we landed on like a Saturday, actually. And I just remember landing in Burbank Airport, and it was just like the sky was like orange brown. It just smelled like a crazy, like fireplaces, really. That's what it smells like when there are these crazy fires. It looked like Armageddon, and you could see these, like, smoke, like, from the plane, you could see smoke coming up everywhere, and it was pure madness. So that's kind of, like, where this episode opened up, with these terrible fires. And we see Kyle, Rinna, and Teddy, they're in a car heading to the airport, and Camille's called up on the phone, and she's basically saying, like, that there's, like, a fire coming down the canyon, et cetera, aiming towards her house. It's very, it's terrible. It's very, like, I felt so bad for Camille. And then later Denise, when she was also, Denise is like, I think our house might be burning down. And then I got so mad because I thought back to last episode when Kyle was like, oh, I have to get back home. I've got so much to do. I don't have the luxury of just, like, waiting around because I have to do this Halloween party and get a Ferris wheel up. And it's just like, the way that when she said that, it bothered me so much because here, like, an episode later, you have people, like, losing their houses and their homes and in some cases their lives or their pets' lives. And Kyle is, like, complaining that she has to get a...
Kyle is Kyle.
Yeah. And I know she wasn't saying that while, I don't think she would have said that, like, she wasn't equating what she was going through to the fires by any means, but to me, the fires underline the fact that Kyle has filled her life with such trivial bullshit.
Pretty much. It's just a way to show you how shallow you can really be.
Yeah.
Well, it's always good to look for a silver lining, and the only one I found in this was how Rinna has her own special, hi, how are you? But for fire victims. She's like, Denise, how are you?
Yeah.
It was like a whispered version of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and then, of course, you're like, the devastation, the horror, let's party! 72 hours before!
Yes. 72 hours before Dorita's having models trying on bathing suits.
Yeah.
So, we get to see things happening all around Beverly Hills. So Dorita's at, like, a photo shoot for Beverly Beach! And then Kyle is, like, sitting on, like, a laptop in her home, wearing a headset as if she works for 1-800-Flowers or something. Like, is she air traffic control? What is she doing with a headset?
Oh, my God. Planes would just start falling from the sky if Kyle was in charge of that. She's like, I'm sorry, there just wasn't a market for planes anymore. So they failed. And Dorit, when she's at her photo shoot, she's like, we need to choose Ecomm. These are things from Ecomm suit. Ecomm. It's for Ecomm.
I was trying to understand what she was saying, Ecomm. I thought, I just didn't even know. I was like, I'm just going to let Ronnie tell
it's
me
like,
what this means.
Because it's so Dorit. It's like, Ecomm. Like, she learned a new word. So here she comes. And then I have to say, these things she's selling, she's moving into athletic wear, so she's selling, like, workout clothes. They're basically long. Okay, I have fat thighs, so I have to wear, like, long underwear. Like a chola on the playground. I don't want to chafe.
Yeah.
And so I have these, like, really long Hanes underwear, and that's what they look like. They look like male long Hanes underwear. So congratulations, Ecomm.
Yeah, it's classic athleisure. So Kyle is sitting there with her headset on, directing air traffic control and also fulfilling orders for flowers. And Portia comes in and it was like a weird scene. Kyle was like, do you have homework? Please tell me you don't have homework. And Portia's like, no. She's like, are you lying? Portia's like, yes, I do have homework. It just was an odd thing. I didn't understand. Like, it was Kyle like hoping to hang out with her daughter? Like, oh, you can hang out.
No, because you have to do homework with your kids. That's why parents are so mad about it. You know one thing parents are going to start rebelling over? Homework. Because kids get so much homework. They're like, I spent 6 hours tonight doing my kids' homework, you know?
Well, how about Kyle doesn't do the homework? Or how about if you have all this expendable money to be buying everything from Lisa Vanderpump's house, why don't you also hire a tutor for, like, $25 an hour or something like that? Like, I don't know, like...
Yeah, if you have money for a pink swing and a backyard you can jog around, maybe you should get a tutor, okay?
If you have money for, like, a three-wheeled go-kart that you're going to take to drive to the supermarket to buy an onion, you have money to hire a tutor to help Portia with her work. It'd probably be actually more helpful. But also, how about Portia just does her own homework?
How about you just get a tutor who's also wearing Ecom?
You should just have, like, one, like Swiss Army knife of a person that they just pass around amongst the group. Like, the econ model, then the tutor, then the bar back at Sir, and then, you know, the horse trainer for Teddy.
Yeah, it's all Dee Dee after Camille got rid of Dee Dee.
Yeah, where is Dee Dee?
Dee Dee got dumped. Casey actually did an interview, and from what I've read, she didn't reveal too much. She just said she's not friends with Camille anymore.
Wow.
So I guess, I don't know what happened there, but Kimber, you're the new Dee Dee, so welcome to the show.
It's called Dee Dee Didn't Like Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, Dee Dee was probably, Dee Dee was probably four women.
Yeah.
So.
His accusations.
Yeah. So, I was really glad to see my favorite character, my favorite side character, Kyle's agency hat.
Oh, I was concerned. I was like, I wonder what her husband does. I was like, God. I don't remember. I really don't remember. Oh, thank God she's wearing that hat while she's doing fake business in her study.
So then Erica and Rena meet for Mexican food, and they enter just as they always enter.
Oh my God, you look amazing.
No, you look amazing. I love your outfit. Gorgeous.
Yeah, and then Erica.
It's like the first 5 minutes of every scene. It's like how great they look in their clothes.
Yeah, and then like Rena was like on the cover of some magazine, like Domino's Quarterly or something like that. And Erica's like, "Wow, you look great on that." She's like, "Oh, thanks. Hey, remember when we were on the Ferris wheel at Kyle's?
Oh yeah, I was talking to you like it was so easy because it was just talking to me. Yeah, wasn't that crazy?"
You sure are method. I sure am method. When I was doing that domino shoot, I actually put Parmesan cheese on my head.
You know what? This tells a lot about us, because when I, in my mind, created Domino's Quarterly, I was thinking about a magazine about playing dominoes, and your mind, Domino's Pizza. Makes sense. Board games, pizza.
Yeah, updating. Updating us all on what's going on in the Domino's world.
Maybe it's just like a magazine that just loves Jesse J. Great song.
So they're talking. This show, I write down the most insipid notes, and it might be because it's one of the most insipid shows, but here's my notes. Waiter, semicolon. Rena, Diet Coke. Erica,
regular Coke.
And then she does, like, this, like, head thing where she's like,
oh, regular Coke, that's right, because I don't give a fuck, tell your friends. Guess what? Spoiler alert, I'm going to eat about a bite of dessert at the end of this scene, because I'm relatable.
You know, when you're a Halloween costume, you've made it. Oh.
So Rita starts talking about Kim Richards, and she's like, yeah, I think we've really moved on, you know? Like, you know, I've never had any bad feelings about Kim Richards. I always really liked her. Except right. For all those times when I've hated her.
Except for those 2 years I dragged her.
It's time for healing to take place, okay? It's time. She needs to be healed. You know, she's on the brink of death.
Oh, my God. And they're so excited about that Ferris wheel. I like when she goes, God, it really felt so good to be Erica Jane. She's like,
that's why I created her.
I'm like, oh, my God, Picasso.
Oh, my God. I know, seriously. It's like, tell it to MoMA. So,
yeah, so she's like, I don't even know why we ever had a problem, me and Kim Richards. This is crazy. And then they showed all these times that Kim and Rena were friends. And the clip is Rena going, Kim, congratulations. Because Kim has, like, an addiction problem, so Rena talks to her like she's 90. She's like, Kim, congratulations on your daughter getting married. And Kim's like, oh, all right, thanks a lot, crazy lady with a funny wig.
Well, the reason why Rena is able to now suddenly move forward with Kim is because now Rena has a new enemy, which is Camille. Like, now Rena hates Camille. She's like, you know, with Kim, at least she told me how she felt. Like, you know, she's always upfront. And I always like when people are upfront with their emotions, unlike Camille Grammer.
And Erica's like, oh, yeah, oh, Teddy told me everything that happened in that van. Could you imagine talking to Teddy every day? Like, hey, just wanted to call in. We were in the van, and then Rena said that she saw an article, and then we got mad that there was an article, and then Rena said she was mad at the article because Camille should have said it to our face. And then I was like, Camille should have said it to our face. It's like, can I go now? Are we done here? Could you maybe learn how to tweet so that I don't have to listen to this?
She reminds me of MS-DOS. So anyway, so Rena
that girl's a floppy disk, for sure.
Just like a text-based platform that is like really unappealing. So Rena's like, you know, when Camille was being interviewed in People magazine, it was like she was talking behind all our backs. I was like, it was such a stupid little puff piece. And you guys are so like... And you guys are, like, adding so much meaning to it, okay? Like, she just was giving some, like, generic, genteel quotes because she didn't want... I mean, I, you know, to be fair, I have not read the article, so I should probably read the article before I really weigh in. But it sounds like from the description that all Camille said was, like, yeah, no, I respect her choice. And was, like, I'm not going to have, like, a public feud with Vanderpump, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, and so Rena's going crazy. Like, oh, she was talking about all our backs. And Erica just goes, Ed, you've had it. It's like Erica's so bored with this, you know?
No.
And when it's like, we got pissed off, like, fuck you, Vanderpump. And then we realized she'd been talking about other people too. And I realized that I hadn't made everyone else realize yet how horrible Camille, I've realized lately, has realized. It's like, what? So then
she just passes out on the guacamole. Tell Frida restaurant I love her. So she's like, you know. I like also that, like, the damning evidence is that, like, you have, like, it's like a flashback of Camille saying, you know, I just think that with Teddy, she's like a bit of a know-it-all. Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't believe she said that. How rude and how awful.
Or Camille saying that that Dorit's a fake-o and nobody even knows if she has any of that money. I mean, the only reason you guys aren't talking about it is because you have a coalition. Because this is the juiciest shit ever. And I would be talking about it every 5 minutes if I was on that show. Well, I do, and I'm not even on that show. I still talk about it. I'm like, hey, good morning, friends. How's everything going? Did you hear about PK?
Yeah, where's that? I hope that Camille... does not back down when she eventually is confronted by this, like, either later this season or at the reunion. I hope she, like, takes a page from New York and be like, I didn't say that. No. And then looks at the video. That wasn't me speaking. No. I just want her to be, like, fully crazy about it. Because I love that Camille is being so messy. You know, people are, like, angry. They're like, fuck Camille. I'm like, you guys don't realize this is a gift from, like, the reality gods. Like, a messy Camille Grammer is back to play. This is what this show needs desperately.
Yes, this is what the world needs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So now we go to the Beverly Beach photo shoot, and Dorit is directing it. She's like, the Beverly Beach girl, she's strong. She's confident. She has a weird accent. Doesn't have a lot of money. Loves boy George.
Here's what the Beverly Beach girl is. She's got a big pocket for other people's wallets. Got it? Let's do it again, Ecom.
Beverly Beach girl's got a pen that comes with a cap, and you can take the cap on and off because she likes options.
Sometimes the Beverly Beach girl has to make a tinkle. So she goes into the bathroom and she pulls down her pants and she tinkles.
Sometimes a Beverly Beach girl has to write a letter, but a very small letter, so she has a tiny little envelope and she can open it and pull out a little piece of paper. That's just what a Beverly Beach girl does.
Unfortunately, the Beverly Beach girl doesn't have stamps.
Sometimes a Beverly Beach girl has to pay things with a quarter.
So she's talking to her photo crew, and she's like, "It's so, oh, I'm so honored that I've made it this far in the business. Finally, athletic wear for women, children of women, women's children." I was like, "What are you getting an award? Shut the fuck up!"
I know, just like
you're putting Hanes on people, okay?
I know you're not getting the Nobel fucking Peace Prize.
Hello, this is Lisa Vanderpump. We are taking a commercial break now. But if you don't hear one, don't worry. You're very lucky.
So she is apparently, she's taking these photos because her stuff is going to be in Kitson, which has turned into, it was the store where, like, in the aughts, where, like, Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton would shop, and now is apparently the repository for Bravo stars to sell their failed fashions, like Mike Shoehead with his little baby shoes on Shaw's of Sunset. So that gives you an idea of what's going on here.
It does. And then they show her in front of Kitson, which looks like a thrift store to me. So she's standing out there, and they're like, "Look, that's where I'm going to have my photo display at Kitson." And then she makes that noise. She goes, "Ah!"
So when do I meet him? Who? Kit's son?
No, it's just called Kitson.
Oh, so is it just Kit, or is it Kit's son as well?
No, it's just Kitson.
I don't understand, but yeah, I'll go with it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I was hoping to come meet a tiny baby talking car. You know, it's like when they told me I was going to meet Kit's cat. It turned out to be a chocolate bar.
I'm still waiting to find out what May actually sees.
So the kids come, and Jagger's modeling, and he's so cute. And it's such a shame when terrible people have such cute children, because it really does divide my loyalties, you know?
I have no problem with it. I just...
I love it, because I, like, love her kids, but I want them to escape, you know? You know something even more disgusting? This year, I'm kind of, like, enjoying PK and Doreen.
Yeah, me too. I'm actually...
I feel so gross. I feel gross week watching Bravo. Like, I can't stick with anything. I'm such a flip-flopper.
I think Dorit is goofy, and I don't feel disgusting about it, because the natural arc of watching Bravo is that you hate someone real hard for a season or two, and then you realize that actually they are, like, really, like, so wonderful, like, as viewing experiences, that you, like, you go from, like, I hate this person so much to... this is the greatest thing that has happened to me. I mean, we've seen it with Ramona Singer, Leanne, Karen Huger, cast of Vanderpump Rules. I mean, like, you know,
you get brainwashed. Yeah, we've talked about
that.
You just get brainwashed. It's like that bad song playing in Ross Dress for Less. Who did we say was Meghan Trainor? You know, it's that Meghan Trainor song that plays over and over, and then before you know it, you're like, it's all about that bass. You hate yourself, you know.
Meghan Trainor never quite... the problem was that I think Meghan Trainor just assumed that we all loved her right out the gate. I'm like, no, we did not. It doesn't work the same with singers, I think. I think with singers, you just hate them.
No, I just mean songs. Like, when you hear the same song over and over again in a Ross Dress for Less, it's like, this is the worst thing. I don't want to hear this anymore. I'm going to shoot the speakers. But then after the fifth time, you're like, you lift me up.
Seriously. That's me. Yeah. I'm like, I fucking hate Josh Groban. Josh Groban, ugh. And then, like, I'll be in my shower. You lift me up. I'm happy to say I've not had that moment with Michael Bublé yet, though. I'm really proud of that.
Yeah. So she's like, all right, everything's wonderful. This is going great. Where's my elastic shorts, Kimberly?
Why didn't you bring it? I told you we need one of each. Why?
It's like, I left it. Should I get it? It's amazing being an intern making $0 per hour. How I can forget things. Like, how could you, Kimberly?
Kimberly! I could not have been more particular that I need a list. I was so particular, Kimberly!
There's a lot of money not on the line here.
Sounds like you've been living a life of athleisure, if you know what I'm saying.
It's like, these are chafing me.
Keep quiet, Kimberly!
So then we go through the gates of Kyle's mansion, which I thought was a funny shot. It's like, okay, just drop it already, show. Yeah. So Kyle is yelling motherfucker at her dog, and I'm like, wow, I even relate to Kyle today. What's happening?
Yeah, because Storm and Bambi were loose. And then this was actually a really funny scene, because Kyle was trying to shoot the, like, I'm organizing the girls' trip scene. And so she's calling up this woman who's in control of this villa in France. Because, oh, by the way, guys, Kyle was looking through Vogue magazine or something and saw a villa and was like, I want to go there. So now they're going there because Kyle saw it in Vogue, which is so Kyle. So she's trying to speak to this, like, property manager. And Storm is, like, at the window going, ooh, 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 ooh.
She's like, shut the fuck up, motherfucker. And that's the only time Bueller actually understood words coming out of the TV. He was like, Dad? He was like trying to find me in the TV. So yeah, she's going to get this huge place. And I wrote down a lot of notes and really don't need them.
Yeah, I was like, so. I don't know why we needed really to see the full conversation. Like, the joke was that the dog was barking. But then once the dog walked away and you saw its, like, big bushy tail, like, going off, like, to another part of the house, we then still, like, sat and watched Kyle have a conversation about, like, the logistics of the villa. I'm like, are we really this starved for content on this show that we're watching Kyle, like, asking, you know, like, when check-in is, you know?
I know. Glad we have another full six episodes of this. Guys.
So then, so then Kyle calls all the women and everything and is like, we're going to Provence, which sounds amazing, actually.
So then we go over to Rena's house where Harry's home finally, and he's going to make some hamburgers. So Rena's like, Harry, you're making hamburgers? What's Amelia going to eat? And he's like, isn't she vegetarian? She's like, no! Delilah's a vegetarian. He's like, I really don't give a fuck. I was just asking that so I could say something on my one shoot day of the season, okay?
Yeah.
Get off my ass, woman.
He's like, it's called a free meal, and they will come to appreciate this some point in their life. So they will eat what I serve them.
I don't love watching rich people make hamburgers.
Why is that?
Is that weird? Well, just, I don't know. You're rich. Just be better, you know?
Make buffalo burgers. So, so Rita, of course, she's like, oh, I can't wear with the butter out. I can't leave the butter out. It's going to get salmonella. Harry's like,
I know. He's like, this is why I'm never here. Okay. This scene is a perfect example of why Harry is always leaving.
I was so envious of Harry, actually, because we saw flashbacks of him, like, doing things like making pies. Cause that's his specialty. And coincidentally, I tried to make pie dough last night. I haven't tried to make pie dough in, like, 10 years, mainly because I've just, for some reason, I just can't do it. And last night, I was like, I'm going to try to make pie dough. And I made the dough. I followed the directions. Everything was great. And then when it came time to roll it up, it's like I didn't put enough, like, flour on the table or on the rolling pin. So it was, like, rolling, and it was, like, almost the size that it needed to be. And then it caught on the pin. And then once it catches on the pin, you're just, like, fucked. Because then it starts, like, rolling itself up, and you're trying to fix it. And then it gets too warm. And I was just like, fuck pie dough. So
fuck pie dough. Yeah, that's definitely one thing that I think it's okay to pre-buy.
Yeah, but, like, I just was, like, excited. And it was, like, an Anne Burrell pie dough. So it had lemon zest in it. And, like, I didn't throw out the dough. I put it back in the fridge. And I may try to re-roll it out. But I was like, you know, the fact that Harry can roll out his own pie dough, he can make his own pie dough, I'm, like, that's, like, very, very cool. And I was, like, jealous of his pie dough abilities. I'm, like, not even joking. Like, I'm not saying this to be funny. Like, I was watching. I was like, I wish I could learn the way of pie dough. I just can't. I can't do it.
Practice makes perfect, Ben. Practice. I believe in you and your ability to make pie dough, Ben. I let
Anne Burrell down. And when you let her down, you feel it.
Yeah. Well, Rena's like, Harry's been in Canada. We're camping. But when I'm home alone, I have fun. And then we see clips of her dancing around on Instagram. And then the girls come out to eat, and Amelia's like, what are those dots? And she's like, tree sap! Tree sap!
It's like the tree was crying. It's crying on a bench. It's Bonnie's bench.
She's like, ooh. So then,
cheese. There was like, then we had to sit, and they're like, where's the cheese? Where's the cheese? Where's the cheese? And then, like, Harry calls Amelia from inside, and he's like, where's the cheese? And Delilah ate the cheese.
Yeah, Delilah ate the cheese, like, for the burgers. And they're like, you ate 5 slices of cheese? And I'm like, you bought 5 slices of cheese? I mean, how cheap are you guys? Okay, it's bad enough we're having hamburger day at home, but now you're buying, like, 5 slices of cheese.
Cheese a la carte. There's, like, opening up the Kraft singles and scanning each one individually.
Yeah, come on, guys.
It's called get a cheese scraper. Put something else, another cheese on it. So who then
moved my cheese?
So then Rena starts talking about, you know, Amelia's struggles with anorexia and how it's, like, up and down, and, like, she makes progress and she has regressions, et cetera, et cetera. And there's, like, all this, like, Amelia is like back to being like a surly teenager. Not that she ever left it, but like it. The story for the past year was like Amelia and Delilah are models, but now it's like, oh no, but they're still teenagers, because they're like eating dinner, and then Harry's like, all right, when you guys are done, just bring your plates into the kitchen, and then Amelia's like, I don't want to bring my plate into the kitchen. He's like, fine. Yeah. Oh, so you're not bringing your plates in. She's like, and she like flicks them off.
Yeah, she won't eat. And Rena's like, you have to eat for your dad. She's like, I'm allergic to everything. She's like, but you can have salad. I don't want salad. I'm like, oh, jeez.
Just, does it really bother you that I don't eat the food you make? Because I'm sorry, we're going to have to work through it, okay? His energy is, like, fucked up. Like, what are you doing? Why is your energy so effed up? I'm like, because he made you dinner and put time and effort into it, and he won't even take a bite, Amelia.
Yeah, that girl's being a little brat.
Yeah.
And so she's like, you're the dad. And he's like, yeah, this is totally your fault. But he says it in that way that's not, like, funny.
Yeah. And Amelia turns to
He's like, going camping. He's like, out of here. He's got his tent on his shoulder. Like, see ya, suckers.
And Amelia, meanwhile, is slowly turning into Lisa. Because she goes, you know, you're, like, really passive-aggressive. Like, hello? Like, hello? I was like, oh, here it is. She's turning into Lisa. Yeah. How are you, Dad? How are you?
Speaking of, that's exactly what she's going to do right now, because she comes to lunch in leopard print. It's another lunch scene. And she's like, ha, 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 how are you?
I was so nervous because they went to a restaurant in Santa Monica called Herringbone, which is actually, there are several Herringbones across the country, and they were started by Brian Malarkey, formerly of Top Chef, and he's like the worst. So I was like, ugh, we're going to have to sit through a Brian Malarkey cameo. He's going to come to the table and like talk about his restaurant. But then I looked up online and saw that he has left Herringbone. So we were spared some Malarkey time.
Spared the malarkey.
This is but what I do when we, I watch Beverly Hills. We.
There's lots of malarkey about to happen. Yeah. So everyone shows up and talks about how much they love each other's outfit, because that's what we do now. And, hi, you're gorgeous. Wow, Kyle, you are good. So then Kyle's like, yeah, you know, things were obviously rough between Kim and Rinna, because, like, Lisa was just using her Erica persona to be mean to my sister, but I don't want to say anything right now, but it's complete bullshit.
Yeah, I'm like, well, why don't you say something? You're on a TV show that encourages you to say something. It's also your sister. And then Rinna, meanwhile, still acting like she just stepped out of doing a Chekhov play. She's like, it really took me a while to get out of Erica Jane. It really did. I'm finally back to Rinna. I don't give a fuck. Oh, wait. Still a little bit of Erica Jane inside me. Hashtag method acting.
So then Dorit comes in, and she's the only person that Rinna doesn't say, you're gorgeous. She doesn't say that. Everyone else who comes in, Rinna's like, oh my God, look at you. You're beautiful. Oh my God, Erica, look at you. Oh my God, Dorit. It's Dorit.
Yeah. By the way, it was so mean that they did this shoot here. I mean, they dragged everyone over to, like, the corner of Santa Monica to shoot. It's so mean of the producers.
I know. Well, they're getting so many West Side people now. Now they've got, well, I guess just two, Denise and Camille. But Camille's not even there.
Yeah. No, they dragged Erica all the way from Pasadena basically to Venice Beach. Yeah. Which is, like, if you don't live in L.A., that is a trek. Okay, if you're in New York, that's like going from New Rochelle down to the tip of Brooklyn.
Yeah. So then Dorit talks about how difficult her day was. She's like, I had a shoot for Ecom. It was so difficult getting all the models, the clothes, the photographers, the lighting. It's like, oh my God, Dorit, you unwrapped a few things from plastic and shot them in your office, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's very excited about Kitson. So then Denise shows up, and the ladies all order food, etc. And Kyle's like, guys, I closed Kyle by Aline yesterday. You know? And at which point, Rinna's like, I can relate, because we used to have a boutique. And we see a photo of Rinna, like Lisa and Harry's boutique. I forget what it's called, but going out of business. And I was like, this is exactly how I would expect a boutique that was run by Lisa Rinna to go out of business, because it has, like, covered in, like, fluorescent pink and fluorescent green signs that are like, store closing! Store closing! How are you? The store's closing!
Yeah, it's just a big sign that says, how are you?
Were people doing coke in your liquidation sale?
Yeah, so the culprit here is high rent in Beverly Hills, which is true. There is very high rent in Beverly clothes, especially when you sell clothes that nobody wants to wear, Kyle.
Yeah, okay? Also, it was actually a large store. It was a large store in prime real estate, and also perhaps, you know, I think, you know, once you have the fat Jewish in there doing splits on the floor, I think that maybe it's like, your business is not going to be in business much longer. I don't know if he's great for brands, Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle. So they just basically talk about that, and then the trip, because she's showing them pictures of the trip. And I cannot believe that Erica said, I've been to Provence, but never anywhere like this. Because I was expecting her to be like, yep, we got a house there.
Yeah.
We also got a house in Florida, you know, Pittsburgh and Chicago and wherever else she has houses.
Yeah, and they were talking about, like, bringing glamour to Provence, and she's like, we're going to be in a house in the French countryside. It's glamorous enough. I'm fine just being me. I was like, whoa, Erica, where'd this come from?
So then Denise is there now. She's like, is Camille coming? And Dorit's like, well, can you just tell me what she said about me? I haven't been this worried about something since the elastic shorts didn't show up. Kimberly!
Why?
And Brenda's like, no, I shouldn't say it. It's not my place. My place is to get shit started and then stand back and watch as it explodes. You guys do it. You guys do it as fun.
And Dorita's so dramatic. She's like, it's actually scary. Someone could be so nice and so friendly and make you feel like you guys were well past anything last year and then go back to it as if someone else still has some residual feelings. I'm like, Dorit, you're the one who was so nice to Lisa Vanderpump last season and then went and talked shit about her in front of everyone else. You know what it is? It's called being a human in Beverly Hills, okay? It's not scary. It's normal.
Oh, yeah. And Denise is like, yeah, well, wait till Lisa Vanderpump hears what she said about her. That wasn't nice. You guys know what I could use right now? Big old dick. My husband's got a huge dick. You guys got tequila here?
Spread some gossip about that. And then we see a flashback of Camille being like, oh, Lisa Vanderpump, I would stare at her gums and just look like the Great Wall of China, but in the upside-down version. It's just the worst thing I've ever seen. And her breath, oh, God, it smelled like what I imagined Jiggy's fart smell like.
And Teddy's like, it didn't please me to hear the thing about Vanderpump because I wasn't the one saying it. And so, you know, that wasn't cool.
And Kyle's like, yeah. And when someone does that, you think, what are they saying about me?
Like, Kyle, the biggest gossip on the show, by the way. biggest gossip.
So then we go to Cam's house with new Dee Dee, who's Kimber.
Yeah, not to be confused with Kimberly, who forgot to bring the athleisure to the photo shoot.
You never know, it might be. It's the same actor now in all these scenes. She's the new Alfredo.
Face off. Yeah.
Yeah. So Camille's just having a totally natural conversation with two pay-for-gays, like her pay-for-Kimber and her pay-for-gay guy, Kimber. who I think just passed away, R.I.P., so I'm not
really?
Being mean to him.
Oh, that's
I
sad.
Think so. I'm not being mean to him. But they're standing around talking, and Camille's just having a totally natural scene with her paid-for friends, and she's like, that wedding was so beautiful. I'm like, Camille!
Yeah.
Enough!
She's like, well... And then Kimber's like, well, except for that strange airport interaction, and I've done my part. So apparently, yes. Apparently at the airport, Mason, who's Camille's daughter, saw Teddy and was like, hi, I'm Mason. And Teddy, like, apparently snubbed her. And then Mason felt really bad about it. And so then Camille's like, and that's when my mommy claws come. What's the line?
They come out, Camille.
There they come out.
Yeah, devastating.
It's so upsetting.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's not a very, that's not nice, Teddy. My God, you're mean to someone's daughter? That's shitty. Someone was like that at a wedding to me. Someone who got in a fight with my mom wouldn't speak to me at a wedding. I was like, fuck yourself. You're like the local Channel 4 news weather lady. Go fuck yourself. Beverly.
Beverly.
And her name was Beverly. Go fuck yourself, Beverly.
Yeah, Beverly. Don't be mean to our Rondell. Just because you jerk. Can't deal with... Rhonda.
You're the same amount of asshole you were when I was five, bitch.
Yeah, you know what? There's a high pressure system coming in. It's called Hurricane Ronnie.
Look, I got mad.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that was uncool. So
I like
then,
that you have a Geraldine Parsons Smith in your life. a childhood tormentor.
No, it's just a little bit. But she was an asshole when I was a kid. And then she had a fallout with my mom. And then she wouldn't speak to me at this wedding I saw her at. And I was like, really?
So ridiculous.
And you know me. I'm not going to take no. I was like, hi. And I was like, maybe she didn't hear me. Hi, Beverly. Maybe she didn't hear me. Hi, Beverly. I was like, fuck that woman. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
Beverly seriously. Does. That's who.
Beverly. Beverly, the weather report. She's still a
I don't even
lady?
Think she's weather. I think she was... I think she was an actual newscaster on the local 4 channel news, and I think she still is.
Oh, yeah, Beverly on El Paso local
yeah,
channel
so
4.
Yeah, so I'm sure someone knows who I'm talking about, and they're going to tell Beverly I called her a bitch, and I hope you do, because Beverly, you're a bitch.
Yeah, okay? Beverly. Beverly, we got your name, and we're coming for you on local channel 4 El Paso.
Let's light up channel 4, everybody. Let's light up channel 4's Twitter.
Local news anchor is embroiled in a controversy with a petty podcast.
With a petty podcaster.
On the Shadabador News Network. Archie. Now here's Archie with the weather. Woof. Oh, that was great. Now David with sports. Oh, it's another Spartan race, I guess. Okay. All right.
No, it's a long time ago. I'm totally over it, guys.
Totally.
You're lucky I can't remember your last name right now, lady. Okay, so let's go over to... No, we're still here. Yeah. We're still at Camille's. So I'm just really mad now. I'm in a blind rage, Ben, so you go ahead.
Okay, so Camille starts talking about how she knows... you know, she starts talking about the Lisa and Kyle situation, and she's like, you know, I've been around Lisa and Kyle for a long time, and I understand their dynamic, and, you know, it's just like, you know, Lisa's been there for me for a long time, and she's also been there for Kyle. So, like, basically she's saying she's not going to turn against Lisa for these bitches. That's what she's saying.
And then
she's talking about Teddy, and she's like, oh, I guess I have to have a conversation with Teddy, but you know what it's going to be? I'm going to bring it up, and then she's going to bark at me. It's just going to be one of those things, like, can she take criticism? I don't think so. But she is an accountability coach. Go figure.
Oh, God. I love when Camille thinks she's got a really good one. Like, she goes, you know what? I think that Teddy has gotten a little bit big for her britches. Where she does that shrug. She's like, It's like a shrug and a shoulder roll. Like, yeah, good one, Camille.
Yeah, exactly. And then we go back to the restaurant real quickly, and someone's like, so is Camille invited to the trip? And, you know, Kyle's like, well, of course Camille is invited. And Erica's like, of course. We're going to kick her ass in France.
So then Malibu, the farm.
Oh, yeah. Malibu. I forgot about this scene, which is shocking because it's, like, significant in that we have the return of Brandy.
Man, you know what? You just keep on trying, Jill Zarin.
Hey,
gotta say, you just keep on trying, because you never know when things will turn into your favor.
I was shocked at how excited I was for Brandy to come back. You know, because when she first came onto the show, I was super team Brandy. And then by the time she left, I was over her. I thought she was thirsty and mean and crazy. And now, like, her coming back, I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God for Brandy Glanville right now.
Yeah, Brandy Glanville got to be a lot, especially when she admitted at the reunion she was making up lies just because that was her job to start trouble. It's like, no, it's not, you know. But those years were so much fun. I mean, those years that she were on, all those seasons were really good seasons. Yeah. And so after a couple of really shit seasons of Beverly Hills, it is, I mean, even me, and she set me into so many rages, and I was like, welcome home, honey!
Yeah, but between her, like, seeing her and Janice together in this scene, it was like, oh my God, we need these two to be together next season. Like, I love this Denise Brandy situation. I'm like really into. I want to see these other women act all precious, and then these two bitches be like, let's get drunk and talk shit about these stupid idiots.
Yeah. She comes in, and Brandy's like, I guess I'm going to start hooking. Sorry, I'm dressed like this. I'm like, you're always dressed like that. Why?
I know. Why did she act like that was strange? She. Also, by the way, of significance was that not only was Brandy back, but she actually got an interview, too. She got an interview look, all that stuff. I was like, wow, this is... They're throwing everything. They're really trying to save this season now.
I know. They're like, guys, we have literally 3.5 hours of Kyle on a headset with a lady in Provence. We've got to do something.
We've been filming Kyle practicing her Duolingo in French for about 5 hours now, and we need to find some more content.
So she's like, oh, yeah, I guess I'm going to start hooking. And Denise is like, hey, those girls make a lot of money, and they get good Thanksgiving Day dinners. Right?
Took me a moment, but I got it, Ronnie.
So Denise is like, I'm so glad Alec introduced us in the nick of time for you to be on this TV show with me. Like, at least Denise doesn't go too far into her lies.
Yeah.
You know? We've been friends for years. Who is this bitch? You know?
But I believe that they would have a friendship, because they do seem sort of to be cut from the same cloth, just like, whatever, fuck it, let's have a cocktail, and, like, they don't seem like they sugarcoat anything, you know?
Yeah.
So, so Brandy's like, so, I saw you were hanging out with Patrick Muldoon. That was Patrick Muldoon. I wasn't sure if it was him or an old fly swatter. Anyway, how does Aaron deal with you hanging out with him? Brandy's like, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter. I'm famous, so...
I'm way richer than him. I can do whatever the fuck I want, basically. And then she's like, he's fine with it. And Brandy's like, oh, yeah, they all seem fine until they're not fine. Mm-hmm. And she goes, yeah, I wouldn't be okay if he did that to me. And Brandy's like, I would have killed him. And then they show a clip of Taylor at the reunion going, I, because Taylor's big freaking mouth. She's like, I heard you slashed Eddie Cibrian's tires. And Brandy's like, fuck yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was great. You should try it, too. So then, it's like, so, by the way, I heard that you punched someone in the face at a Casamigos party. Oh, no, no.
So these are the parties I used to work. These are the parties I always talk about on the show. And back in the, I would cater these twice a year. And back in the day...
Like an actual Casamigos party or just...
Yeah, because I know when I used to work for one of the guys who runs who owns Casamigos with George Clooney and those other guys. So I would work these every year. And this is where I would always say, like when Brandy was on, remember I used to say, I saw Brandy at a party. I mean, it was catering, but yeah. She was at this party. It was these Casamigos parties. Yes. Their Halloween party.
Was this where you saw Beverly also?
No, I saw her at a wedding in Phoenix. Don't get me mad at Beverly again.
Oh, I'm going to.
God, you said it, and I was like, fuck.
Did you punch Beverly in the face and tell Ritter?
No, I would never hurt a woman like that. I would just be mean to her on my podcast.
Is she really a woman?
Insignificantly.
Or is she just a monster?
She's a monster. So, yeah, I used to see them all the time, and Brandy would be... Brandy, you know, is really nice, first off. Obviously, in real life, she's really nice and really funny and would just get fucking wasted. And I loved it. And that was the Halloween party I told you where those two people from Dancing with the Stars, the brother and the sister, dressed in blackface. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Derek.
Oh, was it that one, too? God, you guys, sometimes I miss being a cater waiter. There was some, like, juicy shit that went down.
Wow.
Because when this story came out of Brandy hitting someone at the Casamigos party, I was like, of course she did. And why wasn't I there? I should put on my damn uniform and go.
I want to go to the next Casamigos party. If anyone from Casamigos is listening, could you please invite us to your next party? Because we really need to see this shit. We can't be bystanders any longer. We need to be part of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny with Brandy, we spent like a few years just railing on her. We went from loving her to railing and just saying how awful she was. And we were like, oh, she's the worst. But we'd always be like, and you know what the worst part is? We know that if we ever met her, we would totally get along so well. And then we did her podcast that one time. And we had a great time.
The memories. Oh, cater waitering, I'm coming back to you. So anyway, so they're both little friends and stuff. And then Brandy's like, oh, yeah. I mean, they put me in handcuffs and everything. And then the next guy, the guy said I didn't do anything to him. I mean... Like, it's such a Brandy way to tell a story. Like, so I totally wasn't even involved in that at all. Isn't that crazy? Someone just randomly accused me of punching them at a party.
Okay. So then Denise starts talking to Brandy about the Radar Online scandal. And Brandy's like, well, I mean, you know that Lisa Vanderpump has, like, a direct hotline with Radar Online, right? I mean... She did it. Yeah. And then she basically is like, you know, Lisa Vanderpump, she likes you because she likes pretty young blonde things. You know, she liked to read, she liked me, etc. I'm like, yeah, but you guys all also betrayed her. So don't act like it's like a fetish. Yeah. It's that like Lisa likes you guys for the same reason that like we've liked you guys. Maybe not as much to read. But y'all betrayed her.
Yeah. And she's like, well, we were legit best friends for 5 years, but make no mistake about it. She's a monster. She's a horrible human being. So then we see their clips of how they were such good friends. Yeah. Like when Brandy gave her sex toys. Yeah. And
And Brandy's like, you know, if you cross her in any which way, which I did. And then Denise's like, did you cross her or did you stand up for yourself? She's like, no, I crossed her.
Yeah, at first she says both, but then she's like, no, I crossed her, you know. Yeah. I said she's not telling the truth, you know. And then I made that choice. And then now for 3 years, I've been punished for it. Mm-hmm. Which is revisionist history, but okay. I mean, I think it went a lot further than that, but okay. But well, also, you fucking make a bunch of shit and lie, and then you get rid of your only friend on the show. What do you think is going to happen? It's just not really good strategizing, you know?
And I think that's what people forget. But, you know, I mean, you know, if you flash back a few years ago on this podcast, you know, we'd always be like, well, listen, like, basically, Brandy was like a teenager, and Lisa would always call up to check up on her. And then Brandy was like, oh, you're mothering me, blah, 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 blah. And then she was like pushing back. And then that's sort of like what led to Brandy having this hostile moment with the magazines, et cetera, et cetera. And we're like, you're so ungrateful. And I still stand by that. But I also think, though, now that we've sort of seen a pattern, I wonder how overbearing Lisa Vanderpump is, because it seems like she has taken on a bunch of these like young like friends, and they do seem to turn on her. For as much as they say that Lisa is always manipulating, it's also people are always turning on her. And I wonder if, like, is it possible that Lisa Vanderpump just annoys the fuck out of people on like calling every day? Like, I could see that too, to be honest.
Yeah, like she's always calling to talk strategy and game and how to bring everybody down.
She just could. I could see her being overbearing, like, oh, darling, you must come get tea with me today. Come hang out with me and Ken today. You must. We're going to have tea. And then you go, and it's like, fine, but it's like not quite as fun as like if you were hanging out with like the other girls, and then you start, but you always feel like you owe it to Lisa to go hang out and have tea with her and Ken. And then you just sort of get sick of it, and then you just get angry, and then you just like rebel.
Yeah, and also Lisa does use these people as a weapon, you know? It's like she was kind of sniping at Kyle that whole season because she felt betrayed by Kyle, so she was having Brandy kind of go after Kyle. And by saying having her, I'm just saying planting seeds that Brandy could take and use against Kyle, which she did.
Yeah.
But then when they're like, you're being used, kind of like the Teddy thing again, they're like, you're just being used because she's telling you these things, hoping that you're going to use it against Kyle. It's like, I believe that she was used, but nobody made her say anything, you know? Yeah. It's like the magazines in the back thing when Brandy's like, oh, look at these magazines with Kyle's husband cheating, and her saying, oh, we'll throw them in the bag. Ha, ha, ha. Like, obviously they're talking about like how to piss off Kyle, you know? Like, was that really her sitting there going, oh, throw them in the bag, and then let's take them out at just the right moment to see? Because Lisa Vanderpump had already made fun of Kyle to her face for that shit earlier and got reprimanded. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the same thing happening over again, and I'm still kind of confused, although I do believe Lisa Vanderpump did say, put him in the bag. Bring him.
I do believe, yeah, that's the thing. I do believe she said put him in the bag, and I just don't know the tone. Like, I don't know if she was just like, oh, this will be funny, or we're going to razz her, or if she really was thinking, like, this will make, like, for a good scene for our show. Like, it's hard for me to believe that she meant put them in the bag in this, like, super malicious, I want to hurt Kyle sort of way. I can imagine, at worst, she just wanted to have a scene to make the show more interesting, and at best she just wanted to have a like a to razz her a little bit. And by the way, can I
well also... because Brandy had been kind of coming for Lisa that whole season. The thing with that season is that Lisa didn't know this was happening, you know.
Yeah,
she didn't know until they were on vacation, and then they all started throwing it at her.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's when, and then Lisa emerged on top, and so then Kyle had to spend like 2 or 3 seasons getting back in her good graces because the audience was mad at Kyle. And then Kyle was like, we're best friends. But then the moment there's another weakness, Kyle is ready to pounce.
Yep, it's the classic Beverly Hills trope, you know? So then they're done with that. And Brandy, by the way, has just drunk a wine glass filled to the top and then orders another double. And she's like, I was like, I love that it's not even 5 minutes into this scene.
Yeah, she orders a double and she goes, if you bring me 2 glasses, I will fucking kill you, waiter. And Denise invites Brandy on the group trip, and Brandy's like, yes, I'll come, which I got really excited because I was like, that would actually be great if Brandy came on, but unfortunately I think Denise was just joking.
Oh, or they don't let her come. because yeah. I didn't see any clips of her on that trip.
No, she's clearly not.
It would have been actually kind of fun to see who she'd go after, because Lisa's not going, so it would have been fun to see who Brandy would have focused her shit on, you know?
It would be interesting to see also the Brandy and Erica dynamic. I wonder if...
Yeah, that would probably be a mess.
I think they would bristle, because they did not overlap, right? I think Erica replaced Brandy.
Yeah, Erica came the next season. She was Yolanda's new little one to manipulate, you know?
Yeah.
That was when you had Lisa manipulating someone against everybody, and then Yolanda manipulating someone against Lisa.
I feel like, and you know, Brandy has probably been very outspoken about her opinions on Erica on her show, but you know, we haven't heard it. But like, I think that Brandy would really chafe or be annoyed by what she would perceive as fakeness from Erica. I can see that that's what she would see. Erica would be calling her out constantly. Brandy would really come for Erica, to be honest.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting.
That would be
fun. I think that would be an interesting dynamic, because I think it would be like a real dynamic seeing the two of them.
Yeah,
like,
Vanderpump really left and she's not coming back. Bring on the Brandy. I'm fine. You know,
yeah,
I'd like
exactly.
to see who she aims at. These bitches aren't doing shit. So
yeah, we need some people who are like not so precious and more concerned with like promoting the agency and security systems.
Yeah. So Brandy's like, okay, now that's out of the way. I got a call from Kim, and she's like, that bitch. And Denise is like, I was just trying to assure her that Renna didn't mean anything by that. And, you know, was it bad timing? All right.
All I know is that they should just fucking move on from it. I mean, it's a fucking bunny. Okay, now if we're talking about Aaron's giant dick, that'd be another thing. Am I right? High five. Anyone? No? Okay.
Well, we went extra long on that segment, so we can go extra quick on this one. Aaron and Denise in a gym. I was like,
yeah.
I love Denise. I'm glad she's on the show, but goddamn some of these scenes.
Yeah, I actually, I'm not going to lie, I did doze off during this scene a little bit. It was just basically Aaron talking in his softcore porn voice about, like, hey, babe, I was trying to talk the other day, and the girls think that I'm yelling at them all the time, but there's, like, towels everywhere. Am I right?
He's like, you gotta talk to girls different, right? You gotta manipulate them.
I'm like, oh, God, this is healthy. Okay,
really
so...
open my eyes.
Yeah.
What a fuck?
Kyle and Erica go shopping for scarves, and, she's like, every time I walk in the street, I think of my store, because I always wanted a store on the street. Now I don't have a store on the street.
My chandeliers. I got to get my chandeliers. Leave no chandelier behind.
And then they pass Villa Blanca, because it was right down the street from her store, which was also kind of funny, because Kyle's always competing, you know? So, of course, she gets a business
course,
right on the same
right?
street as Vanderpump.
Oh, my God. It's so true. It's really, I mean, people, it's not like, we're not being like, it's literally like a block away.
Yeah, and so they're passing Villa Blanca, and there's a chalkboard with the specials, and it says Provence. She's like, oh, my God, of course.
Looks like it's on somebody else's mind, too. And by someone else, I mean me, because I've got a new song called Provence, Provence. I'm gonna dance in Provence.
My pussy's in Provence. My pussy's in Provence.
Pass the mushrooms, my pussy's in Provence.
So then she's like, I think of all the good times. And so they just show a bunch of clips of them laughing together. And she's like, you know, I don't focus on what happened recently. Like, yeah, because you did it, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, and by the way, it's also exclusively what you talk about, including right now.
All you talk about.
Like, literally, you guys walked by Villa Blanca. Like, you knew where Villa Blanca was, and you walked right by it, okay? You know that secretly she wants to ambush Lisa. She's like, oh, she doesn't want to shoot with us? Okay, what does she say now? What if we show up? What if we walk by now? Huh?
Yeah.
So then they go into a place, and they start shopping for scarves.
That's so boring. I'm sorry. Erica's like,
look, I like cherry blossoms. What the fuck are we doing here? I've got scarf stores in Pasadena. Jesus Christ.
So then she's just calling people, and people are calling to say they can come. Camille can come. She's like, I went over my schedule.
She went over
Kimber,
schedule, and it's
and
my husband, and she has like a opening for the weekend. She
Kimber,
can do a week. Because her husband's going to go skiing in Switzerland again, because he's, you know, going off and doing that. So
devastating.
It's going to be a great trip.
But I always forget the last word.
So upsetting.
It was devastating in my head. So then she's like, I'm so glad you included me. And Kyle's like, well, I'm glad that worked out. And Erica goes, till we get to France.
She just doesn't know that yet. And they both laugh, which I liked. I like that they're like, oh, she's going to get it. She's going to get it in France.
These ladies are terrible.
But so then now it's time for packing. And Teddy is like hanging out with her friend Alex. And Teddy's like, hi, I'm Teddy. I've never gone wine tasting before. I'm like, Teddy, stop that. Just stop. You've gone wine tasting.
I'm so normal.
And her friend's like, well, you get, like, drunk. Be careful, because then you turn into a peanut. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but Teddy even turns into the most boring nut.
She turns into, like, like, her planter's nut is just, like, a peanut with, like, a bandana on. And doesn't even have the cane. You're like, really? You didn't even dress up for this, Teddy?
Like, you couldn't find a monocle, Teddy. Really?
Hi, I'm Planters. So she's... I don't know why it bothered me that she's like, I don't even know what a wine tasting's like, basically. It's like, Teddy, you're like 35, 36. You've done a wine tasting.
She's such a liar. So then it goes to... everyone's packing, and then it cuts to dramatic music. Breaking news, where we started off this episode.
Fires.
And everyone's house is burning down. It's fucking terrible.
It's really sad. And, you know, Camille's calling and talking about how, like, you know, the fires are coming. And the one thing that I did find amusing was that, like, and Camille in her interview starts describing being stuck in the traffic jam. And they're in this traffic jam. And she's like, and we're there. And the flames are going faster than the cars. And it was, like, really scary. And what I liked was that the story was so stressful that her New Jersey accent came out. She was like, we were terrified. We were terrified.
Oh. And then they're like, everything's burning down. Everyone's crying on the phone. It's a fucking terrible thing. And it's like, next week, dun, 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 friends!
I know.
Like, that's it skips into happiness again. Oh, my God. This show. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Beautiful times. So we are going off to the Midwest. We're going to go to Milwaukee. We're hopping on a plane and we're going to fly out there. And we'll be just in time for Milwaukee Pride. So if you want to continue having Pride and come see our show, Bueller wants to come to Milwaukee. Bueller has lots of gay pride today. Anyway, we'll see everyone in Milwaukee and Minneapolis this weekend. Tickets still available for Milwaukee, so go to watchforcrappins.com for that. And we'll talk to you later this week. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Love you guys. I'll see you soon.
Hi, I'm Romesh Ranganathan, and I'm just bending your ear to tell you about my brand new BBC Tea show.
Give it up for the Ranganation!
A topical comedy chat show about all of the things that are happening from the news, the country, the internet.
This is unbelievable, right?
To help me make sense of it all, they've given me my very own focus group. The bunch of fun, opinionated and passionate people from all walks of life. And of course my mum, who apparently has to be in everything I do now.
You missed a few things.
No, I didn't.
You did.
The Ranganation, available now on BBC iPlayer until July the 22nd.